I don't know what kind of judge QBR. But
you're listening to Talk Sports.
Sitting here looking at the numbers, his QBR when he won the MVP was 117.1. Last year,
not nitpicking, that's quarterback rating. The quarterback rating and QBR is two different things.
Okay, no, you're right. So his QBR was 79.4 when he won the MVP.
I don't know what the hell that means. Like I said, I don't know.
Let's just go by the rate.
Yeah.
Isn't that the one we usually go by?
Yeah, the rating is what we usually use. QBR rating's different.
Well, forget QBR.
Yeah.
QBR
throw it out,
can go to hell.
Because no one knows what the hell it means.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
He had a QBR of 117. Went back to average in 2017.
QBR, he had a rating of 117.
Jesus Christ. He had a rating of 117. We still call it the quarterback rating, though, don't
I know,
we?
But you don't shorten it to QBR.
What the hell is a QBR?
No one knows!
Jesus.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
I have a definition if you want it.
You can read it to me. I've read it a million times. I still don't know what the hell it means. To be fair, I don't really know what the hell quarterback rating means either. Hour 2 kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour 2 headlines. What do you got for us, Draven?
Let's continue the quarterback carousel. We had a new report, also with Deshaun Watson. We brought him up a little bit. Michael Ghiardi tweeted out that he has talked to a person that considers himself a good friend with Deshaun Watson, right? So, pretty close guy. And he says that he does believe that Watson will not show up for the Texans camp, will not show up for anything until he is traded. He said that, pretty much said there's no way. There's no way he's going to show up and perform back in a Houston Texans uniform. So, you buying that? You buying the buddy's testament here that he would, in fact, hold out completely?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you've kind of said that you'd expect him to hold out, right?
I think Deshaun Watson will have to do it. I think he'll do it.
I think if people were willing to sit out for, like, the pandemic stuff, I think it'll
Yeah, it kind of changed things. Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. But you can. Like, people sat out last year, and I didn't see anybody, like, being too sad about it.
No.
Yeah.
Nobody really regretting it or anything.
And they got like, what, like $100,000 or something like that for sitting out? I mean, they got, like, some type of payment.
Yeah, or something, yeah.
But nothing like, you know, nothing like they're used to getting paid on their contract.
Well,
so.
I don't think that's going to happen with Deshaun. I think he'd probably get fined if he doesn't show up in this kind of occasion.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm saying he wouldn't make any money. He'd be losing money. But, and you know, if I'm the Texans, like I said, I might just be okay with that. I might just say, you know what, the draft stock won't get – the draft value won't get hurt next year, and we'll get the number one pick. Although, like, I don't know, like, what quarter – is there a quarterback next year that everyone's, like, lining up for?
Kid from USC, year, maybe, Slovis. I know he's –
There's not
– Surely not.
It's not as
– He had high expectations going into the year.
Well, I know, but I mean, he's just – I don't think he's enough to, like
– Oh, no, not like – yeah, no. That's the only quarterback I could think of that would be, like a
– Sam Ellinger.
Some people like the North Carolina guy, that Sam Howell guy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Geez, there was another one. I can't remember, but, yeah, it's not as – it's definitely not
Seems
as good
like
as quarterback
gonna be a weak
classes
class,
this year, yeah.
Yeah, that would – worry me a little bit. Although if I'm the Texans, like I could get Darnold or Tua and at least have some, like, try him out this year during a bad year. I don't know. I think I'd just trade him. I think that's my official take after I realized who's in the quarterback class next year.
Oh, says the guy.
Well, it's the quarterback class next year. That's what I'm worried about.
Right.
And, like, like, you know, if he's still, like, the thing is, he's still going to have a no trade clause next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't go away.
He'll still have that no trade clause. So, like, he's still going to, like, be trying to command where he goes. And, you know, like I keep saying, I'd rather have the Dolphins pick now when I know it's number 3, or the Jets pick right now and I know it's number 2.
Absolutely.
Anyways, next headline.
Speaking of another quarterback, John Lynch kind of vouching for Jimmy G. Did you see that? That he said he has no doubt that Jimmy G will be the team's quarterback in 2021.
Who said that?
John Lynch, the GM.
Interesting. Just for our reference, Mel Kiper says San Francisco trades up to number 7 to draft Justin Fields.
Ah, wow.
Mel Kiper's an idiot.
What do you think of Niners kind of acting like they're going to stick with Jimmy G? I mean, he said other things like, as you know, with health, he's got to stay healthy. Of course, he added the other things, but he did, at the end of the day, kind of say, like, yeah, we still like Jimmy G. I mean, some GMs have said that before.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't hold these. Like, it's not a blood oath. You can say we changed our mind. Things changed. We didn't think Justin Fields would be there at number 7. We didn't think we could get so-and-so.
Which, I mean, they could have Jimmy G and still draft quarterback, right? That wouldn't be the worst decision.
And still let him start.
For the Niners. Jimmy G, anything left in the tank there? You think he's done?
He's got something. I just don't know what he's got. I don't know how good he is.
What about him or Goff? Who would you take? You still take Jimmy G?
That's a tough one.
Pretty similar situations too.
That's a tough one. God, I don't know. They're basically the same quarterback as far as I'm concerned. I'd probably take Goff.
Really? That's surprising.
I don't know if I mean it. I don't know.
They are really like the same quarterback. Yeah. They've both been to a Super Bowl, lost recently, recent.
I just gave Goff the pedigree of being like the number one pick. They're like, you know, he's maybe got more talent than Garoppolo, who was a backup for most of his career. I don't know. Like I said, they're both pretty bad.
Be interesting. Niners, man, I feel like the Niners should be the team really pushing for a QB. But either way.
Neither one of those guys have listed them on the team. Yeah. And I go, you know, the Seahawks, I doubt would ever trade him in division. So
you guys can't keep telling me like the Jets are on these lists just because it's New York. There's something. Is Robert Saleh? Is that it? Like, there's something else.
I think it's just New York, man.
I mean, is New York that cool?
Yeah. I mean,
go to the Giants. About the Giants are in a better situation, and nobody believes in Daniel Jones right now.
I don't know if the Giants are a better situation.
Than the Jets.
The division, I guess, would be a little bit easier, but like, yeah. I don't know.
They got a decent
Jets
team.
Got some decent young players.
Who?
And they got a lot of cap space. I mean, they have $100 million in cap space this year. Get you some help. Bring your friends with you.
Yeah.
Got Big Becton over there holding down the left side.
Yeah. Did he even have that good a year? I guess he did have a better
year.
Yeah,
got a linebacker if it wants to get paid. Maybe Russell's like, hey, come on down.
Yeah.
More NFL news. John, the former Tennessee Titan Jarrell Casey released from the Broncos, clearing $11.875 million in cap.
Of all the mistakes that John Robinson made last year in the offseason, trading Jarrell Casey for a seventh-round pick was not one of them.
Seemed like it worked out pretty well, huh?
It's nice to be a year early on a guy breaking down. I mean, the signs were there, and I mean, he played three games and ended up on the IR.
Mm-hmm.
Now we'll see what happens with Jarrell Casey next. Does he just go on a cheap deal and try to go to contender? Does he have any type of market value? Does he retire?
He's 31 years old.
Yeah, but once your body starts breaking down, it's a little bit, you know, and you're that size, like you got a different strain on your body. Defensive tackles, I mean, they don't play very long. I mean, you know, past 31. So nothing would shock me for him. Maybe he takes one run at hopping on with a contender. Maybe.
Titans bring him back?
They
need a defensive line help.
Yeah, I mean, like, and you know, that might be something, but the feelings are probably hurt, and he probably wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, it seemed a little sour to cap off. Yeah. That just came out. We had kind of a report coming out yesterday. Aaron Jones, the running back for the Packers and the Dolphins, having mutual interest, as that seems to be one of the top teams with the Packers as well as probably his two top teams. The Packers could still franchise tag him potentially, but Aaron Jones, any value there? You see him as the He kind of feels like the top free agent running back at this point, right? I mean,
how many times have we had a free agent running back change teams and be good?
Ooh,
like I'm not opposed to paying running backs. I've made that case. I think some running backs are worth it, but I'm just wondering like, how many have changed teams and been good. I mean, obviously Le'Veon Bell chased the money and went to the Jets and was awful.
Mm-hmm.
LeSean McCoy, what are you doing in Buffalo? Was he at least decent for the first year?
Yeah, nothing crazy. Fournette this year didn't do anything.
Playoff
crazy.
Lenny.
Yeah, I mean, like
playoff Lenny.
Yeah, it's a little bit different when you get cut and like you're a bargain, like and you're good for a good portion. That's happened. Like LeGarrette Blunt did that. Like he might be the best case of that.
I mean, he was running all the Super Bowls.
Right, but I mean, he was just kind of a free agent. Ask me like he was kind of a scrap heap guy. I'm just wondering like guys who have like signed somewhere free agent wise. Like
I think the Falcons got one good year out of Steven Jackson, but that was
okay. Yeah, that's probably a pretty good one. Like LeSean McCoy's first year in Buffalo, played 12 games, had 800 yards.
Not that good.
But then the next year had 1,200 yards and 13 touchdowns. So, I mean, he's been, he was pretty good, I guess, in 2016. Okay.
Kind of carried him to the playoffs when they made it that one year.
What was that, 2017? He had 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 448 yards receiving. So, I mean,
maybe not.
I mean, that's 1,500 total yards. I mean, that's not bad. That's not bad. But I'm just wondering, who the best example in the last decade has been of that, because it seems like when guys leave the team that got them the contract, it hasn't gone very well.
I'm trying to think of just recent free agent running backs have gotten signed to a decent deal.
Not having a good.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's tough. So, based on what you're saying, you probably would not value Aaron Jones too much.
Not in Miami. I mean, I think he's a good running back, but I'd be careful if I was Miami.
Why's that?
I mean, unless you're like going to trade one of those picks, you know, for a quarterback, then you're giving like, you know, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Jones. Maybe that's different, but like, otherwise, you got all those draft picks, man. Just draft a guy in the second round.
Yep.
It's usually the approach either way.
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of draft picks. Just if you're not trading for Deshaun Watson and you're keeping those draft picks, then just use your free agent money for other stuff and then just draft a guy in the second round. That's what I would suggest. Like, maybe Travis Etienne's there at the top of the second round.
No. He was saving for the Falcons.
That'd be a good pick, though, right, for the Dolphins, right? I'm just saying, like, either way.
You brought up J.J. Watt, and I wanted to talk about, did you see Taylor Lewan's post on Instagram?
He went Happy Gilmore.
He did. He used your quote, the great quote. I'm stupid. You're smart. I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. And, of course, has the and then you are good looking and I'm not attractive. That's how he wrapped it up. Of course, has the picture of J.J. Watt.
And he put hashtag sellout.
Oh, he did. Selling out. Hashtag selling out. Yep. Hashtag
begging
for the boys. So, and I did see, I mean, J.J. Watt, the Titans were reported by, was it John Clayton, one of the top teams?
One of the top three with the, was it the Packers and the Browns? Was that the other team? No, it wasn't the Browns. It was the Packers and the, it wasn't the Steelers. They said he would not be going to the Steelers.
No, he wouldn't go to the Steelers.
It was Packers and somebody else. I don't know who the third team was. But then he went on to say, like, it's not the final three. Like, there's a lot of teams interested in J.J. Watt. So, like, it'll be, I believe it was the Raiders and Browns are interested and reached out to him. So, there'll be some competition. All right, good batch of headlines. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey folks, Jamie here at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with the easiest new car buying experience out there. It's easy in the Mitsubishi. At Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike, with payments as low as $179 a month. Plus, we're giving you $4,000 over KBB for your trade and $8,000 off of an addendum. It's easy in a Mitsubishi. If you're upside down in your vehicle, we can get you out so you have nothing to worry about because it's easy in a Mitsubishi. Not only that, but your new Mitsubishi from Alban Franklin Motors comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty because it's easy in a Mitsubishi. Best payments in the industry as low as $179 a month for a brand new vehicle because it's easy in a Mitsubishi. And at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike, we're not worried about your credit. We're going to get you approved because we own the bank. And it's easy in a Mitsubishi. Yes, you can afford a new car at Alban Franklin Motors because, say it with me, it's easy in a Mitsubishi. 9711 Kingston Pike, just across from the Chop House. What are you waiting on? We're waiting on you, because it's easy in the Mitsubishi from Alban Franklin Motors.
If you own a business or have a website, you need hosting. It's the only thing keeping your website running. Smarter Searches is a local marketing agency offering blazing fast website hosting for your website. Most companies charge fees for every possible feature, confuse you with multiple tiers and packages, and loads of unnecessary add-ons. Smarter Searches has a smarter approach. One set price that includes fast website hosting, SSL certificates, daily backups, and 24/7 support on a dedicated server. It's reliable, it's easy, it's smarter. Visit SmarterSearches.com. for more information on web hosting. The newest way to save money is also the easiest way to save money. Get access to thousands of discounts on shopping, dining, entertainment, and travel. It's a powerful new way to save money with roadside assistance, cell phone protection, identity theft protection, and credit monitoring. Enjoy these benefits with a checking account from Citizens National Bank.
Citizens National Bank. Banking never felt so good.
Find out more at cmbtn.com. Member FDIC.
If you or a loved one has been injured in an automobile accident, you deserve the best. With over 20 years' experience in car and semi-truck accident cases, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III have the expertise to handle your case and get you the money you deserve. Visit g3helpme.com to get your free legal consultation and let the G3 team put their experience to work for you. Attorney G. Turner Howard III and his staff understand exactly what you're going going through. They'll handle your case, and there are no fees unless the G3 team wins for you. Don't wait a minute longer. If you're in Knoxville, Sevierville, Chattanooga, the Tri-Cities, or surrounding areas, let the G3 team go to work for you. Call the law offices of G. Turner Howard III today, 865-558-8030, or visit their website at g3helpme.com to get the legal advice and representation you need and the money you deserve. That's the law offices of G. Turner Howard III at g3helpme.com.
Back on the program, Draven asked, what about just a Deshaun Watson for Russell Wilson trade straight up? I can't believe you as a Cowboys fan doesn't want Russell Wilson over Dak Prescott.
Why is that?
I just can't believe it.
I don't want the guy that...
One's won games, one hasn't. Cowboys fans like losing.
Is it that simple?
No.
Stuck in their ways.
You'd rather lose with your own guy than like win with a guy who elevates his teams?
How is Dak Prescott a loser? He never had a losing season in his career.
How many playoff wins does he have?
And then we go to the playoff wins.
Not what matters? That's you've been saying for 3 weeks.
How many playoff wins does Sean Watson have?
We're talking about Russell Wilson.
Talking about Russell Wilson, yeah.
We're just comparing really good quarterbacks. It's based on a lot of your team as well, Cam.
Oh, so you're saying...
I've said that. I do think at the end of the day, quarterback has to win.
Oh!
So are you saying Seattle has more offensive weapons than Dallas does right now?
Sounds like that's what he's saying. Interesting.
That's not what I'm saying.
Huh.
That's not what I'm
saying. By the way, Dak Prescott has had a losing season. He was 2-3 this year.
Oh boy. Okay.
Let's put that stat to bed, please. He has had a losing season. In fact, his most recent season was a losing season. Which, by the way, how many losing seasons has Russell Wilson had?
Zero.
Interesting.
Well, and he's been in the league longer.
Yeah.
Wow.
His first year, maybe.
They were good his first year.
Was his first year? They went to the playoffs his first year, didn't they?
Yeah, they were 11-5. That was the Fail Mary game. They started out slow, but then they caught fire.
And then they beat Washington, and it was Washington in the playoffs, RG3.
11-5, 13-3, 12-4, 10-6, 10-5-1, 9-7, 10-6, 11-5, 12-4. Talk about being a winner. Huh? Huh? Talk about being a winner. 98-45-1 is the start. I think that's being a winner.
I still don't want the disgruntled quarterback over there demanding a trade. Ooh,
Dak don't seem too happy with his contract. He's been pretty disgruntled.
He signed his franchise tag last year, and you know what he did the day after, John? He posted a picture with him in a cowboy hat.
Him $30 million. He'd been playing on a rookie deal as a fourth round draft pick, third round draft pick, whatever the hell he was.
Have you ever heard Dak Prescott complain?
He said we ain't broke no more.
Have you ever heard Dak Prescott complain, John? At all? Any even just a rumor or a report, anything? No, you haven't.
Yeah, unhappy with the contract talks. Yeah, we just had a talk yesterday that this will be his last year in Dallas.
He's never voiced him being unhappy. There's never been a report coming out. Not, I don't have a say. I don't have a say in the team. I'm going to storm out of a meeting, crybaby. Get out of here. Like, you just went 12-4 and won the division.
Dak Prescott, quote, a little disappointed he hasn't signed a new deal. First thing that came up when I typed in Dak Prescott unhappy.
Not demanding a trade. A little disappointed. That's not that big of a deal.
Oh, okay. All right.
A little disappointed.
One of these quarterbacks has been jumped in Panama City Beach and the other one hasn't. I'm going to go with the one that's not getting jumped.
Long time ago, Cam. Long time ago. Now we're really trying to bury out some skeletons, aren't we?
And I think it has been pretty evident that Dak doesn't necessarily have the best judgment when it comes to making decisions. Evidenced by him getting beat up in Panama City.
Yeah.
Panama City, man, it's crazy. You never know what's going to happen. I don't blame Dak.
Yeah.
That's just Panama City.
I'm surprised that you wouldn't be okay with that. Just a little swap. A little swap-a-rooney. A little swap-ski. I wonder what Jerry thinks.
About what? Russell Wilson?
Jerry's sitting there saying, this isn't a bad idea.
I'd do it.
Russell Wilson.
Why would you do it? Give me the perks.
He's a better quarterback.
Better quarterback and
how much better?
The Dak injury, too, would make me want
healthier
to do it too.
And better, and we don't have any bad blood. Yep. Sometimes you just got to do a little wife swapping. Sometimes you just got to start new. Dak and Jerry, they at least got a little bit of tension. A little bit of tension off of the contracts. Just a little bit, at least. Here we go again, year three. We obviously know Russell and Seattle has a little friction there with their salary talks, their trade talks, their roster configuration talk. Just a little swappy. I don't know. Just thinking out loud. No?
No. Still not down for it. Still not down for it. You think Dak is not a better leader, better team guy?
than Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson, literally, the Legion of Boom hated him. They didn't like him. Remember, they said it. They were like, this guy's fake.
And you know who else? Still took him to the Super Bowl.
I mean, at least that's like, that came from a power struggle like inside the organization of they thought that Russell was a corporate guy. Am I misremembering Dak and his number one receiver not butting heads?
Come on. Dez butted heads with everybody. He butted heads with Romo, and Romo's forcing him the ball all the time.
I was just wondering if I was misremembering Dak and Dez getting into it.
That's a
his actual receiver.
Weak argument. Come on. Dez literally was such a crybaby, and you know it.
I was just wondering. Richard Sherman, outspoken. Bobby Wagner seems to like Russell Wilson.
Okay. All right.
Just checking. Is this going to be the new norm in the NFL?
Seems like it, because how much it's happened this offseason.
Or, will these, young quarterbacks be here and, it'll be, they'll get their way and then everybody will be happy for a couple years?
Well, I was about to say, it depends on if this works. If Deshaun gets to go to where he wants to go, Russell gets to go where he wants to go, other quarterbacks are going to see that and be like, oh, if I'm unhappy in my situation, I got some leverage and I can almost probably get to where I want to go.
I think Russell will be different with age. I do wonder if this works with Deshaun Watson, because that could change everything.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine every team in the NFL that is not the Miami Dolphins, New York Jets. What was the other team he said he'd go to, Deshaun?
Raiders.
No, it wasn't the Raiders, because they said they were interested in
not Deshaun.
Carr.
I thought you were talking about Russell Wilson.
Well, if it works with Deshaun, if you're one of the teams that he wants to go to, you're hoping that you get him. If you're the other 28 teams, you're hoping that this quarterback doesn't get this leverage, because that could change things with their guys in the future. If you're Cincinnati, you're praying that Deshaun Watson does not get his way in what, year four?
Yeah.
Because that starts the clock with you and Joe Burrow. If you're the Chargers, probably hoping that this doesn't work in case Justin Herbert gets tired of this.
Yep.
The owner's like, hey, we can't give these players these powers. We can't be like those NBA boys. We can't be letting them dictate their future and where they're going. We gotta hold on. We gotta franchise tag for a reason, boys. They ain't going nowhere unless we want them to. That's what you gotta be hoping and praying. If you're one of those owners, you don't want to see these players, especially your franchise quarterbacks, getting power. So Houston might be having to do it for the rest of the owners. This is a pivotal moment, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to player empowerment in the NFL. Because we've seen quarterbacks get traded before. We've seen that happen before. We've seen guys switch teams. We've never seen a franchise quarterback at the age of 25 be able to demand his way out while under contract in the NFL. We just haven't seen that. Kind of wild when you think of it in those terms. This could set the next 10 years into motion. All these young quarterbacks coming into the league now. Young quarterbacks already there. Like I said, Joe Burrow looking around, interested. I don't have to be stuck in Cincinnati. I can just say, trade me? Huh. That'd be kind of cool.
I think the NFL will do something about this, contract-wise, to where you can't just...
What can they do? I mean, there's nothing they can really do.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't force a player to play. Like, these guys are going to, you know, maybe, like, they'll have to be willing to sit out. Maybe Deshaun Watson will have to do that. But, like, if the players are willing to do that, then you lose any type of leverage you have. Right?
Yeah. Say so. It's pricey, less contract extensions, you would think. If you're a GM, wouldn't you kind of be like, maybe we should just franchise tag him another year or two so we don't have that commitment, him demand a trade in 2 years?
Yeah, maybe. Or, like, you know, then you'll be like, you know, that also works with Dak. We'll see. Like, Dak's future. If he does the franchise tag one more year, he's like, I'm out of here. You've made me mad. I don't want to play here anymore. Maybe that would change things. That kind of happened in the NBA with Gordon Hayward and the Jazz. Whenever he was a restricted free agent, they wanted to lowball him. They did not want to give him the max money when he was a restricted free agent like 4 years ago. And, you know, he flirted with another team. They tried to sign him. I believe it was Charlotte, actually, that tried to give him a big deal. And then the Jazz matched it and brought him back. But they said Gordon Hayward never got over how the Jazz didn't want to just pay him up front. So when he became an unrestricted free agent, he was out of there. Said, I'm gone. I'm going to Boston. That's kind of what they're doing with Dak. So we'll see if Dak is like Kirk Cousins and has hurt feelings. It's like, you know what? I don't really want to be here. Now with Washington, they didn't really want to fight Kirk Cousins on that. They're like, fine, go ahead. But with the Cowboys, they might want Dak Prescott back.
Do we blow this franchise tag thing out of proportion, though? You really think, like, Dak's that mad? He doesn't have a long-term contract. He's still going to get paid potentially, what, 37 mil? Like, you're getting 37 mil.
I don't know, man.
A whole nother year to literally, like, prove yourself again. And also, maybe even keep your options open. Like, if I'm Dak, man, I'm thinking, yeah, this is a good situation for me, too. I get another year to make sure the ankle's good.
Hey, you know, some people are fine dating. They don't need an engagement ring. They don't need to get married. Some people want to get married. Some people are fine staying in just relationships for 10 years and never getting a full commitment. They can do the year-by-year thing. Some people are like, why don't you want to get married? You don't see a future with me? You don't want to settle down with the one? Different strokes, you know?
Yeah.
Some people want security. Some people are fine going with the motion. Hey, I love you, don't you? Don't I? Hey, I come home every night, don't I? Why don't I get a ring? Do you need one? I got you a necklace. You don't like that necklace I got you? That bracelet? It's different for everybody. We're in a pivotal moment, though, and I'm excited to see how it shakes out. We'll switch gears from the NFL. After the break, let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Fan Run Radio has made the switch.
Add a little extipment. Did I say stickment?
I don't know why.
Add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. And there's a reason why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Their app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets. They do the same game parlay. I tell you about that. They got all the promotions, the boosts that they're always offering on the biggest events to let you get more action out of every game day. Fast withdrawals. When you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. And right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place a bet on any game, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back if you don't win your first bet. No strings attached. Place any bet you want. If you win, keep the cash. Cha-ching! If you lose, no big deal. You'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. Wish I had some on the Hawks last night. What a performance.
Man, Gallinari. Ooh.
A little Champions League action.
Ooh-wee.
You boys got any plays at Auburn this weekend?
Probably.
Or you can just wait. I think with the Tennessee-Auburn game on Saturday, just wait. See how Tennessee plays. Take advantage of FanDuel's live betting option.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee will let you know pretty soon if they're going to be the good version or the bad version.
Yep.
See the bad version? Hammer Auburn. Take a little advantage of the NBA same game parlays. What's on tonight Thursday night? What's the TNT game tonight?
I'm not sure what the TNT game is. I know the Mavericks play at the Sixers.
TNT. I would imagine that'd be the TNT game, right?
TNT game.
You think so?
It is. There's two,
Clippers
actually.
At Grizzlies.
Right. It's always a doubleheader. The second one
is the Pelicans at the Bucks.
Okay. Pelicans play a little better. Get you a little same game parlay action in both of those games. If you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started, and be sure to sign up with promo code TALKSPORTS so they know that we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook. Promo code TALKSPORTS. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. You guys worried at all about the Lakers? Four straight losses?
Got killed last night, too, didn't they?
Anthony Davis, yeah, they're looking like a completely different team.
I will say that at the very least, I think we are seeing the end of LeBron James' MVP candidacy.
Yeah.
Like, it might be hard for them to give him MVP if they continue to struggle without Anthony Davis. Last night, LeBron, you know, only 19 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Only played 28 minutes. They got absolutely beat down. That Jazz team, woof!
Mm-hmm.
Woof! That Jazz team, rolling. They're good, man.
Contenders or pretenders, John?
You know, I was laying in bed last night thinking about that, actually. I was laying in bed thinking about that last night. The Jazz are the first team in NBA history to make 50 threes in 2 games.
Jeez.
They were 28 of 55 against the Hornets. That's ridiculous, 55 attempts. 22 of 48 last night against the Lakers. They hit 50 threes in 103 attempts. That's pretty damn good. I mean, if they shoot like that, obviously, Draymond, they're contenders. But, like, I don't know how we don't call them contenders when they're top 5 in offense and top 5 in defense. It's not like they're just out here like these 7 seconds or less Suns playing really fast and you know the defense ain't going to be able to hold up. Mm-hmm. Like, no one questions whether or not the Brooklyn Nets are contenders or pretenders, right?
Yeah.
Like, everyone acknowledges, like, the Nets are contenders, maybe even the favorites at this point. But, like, they don't play defense. The Jazz are doing this on offense while also playing top 5 defense. Now, you know, matchup dependent, like, if the Jazz and Lakers play in a series and, like, all of a sudden you have LeBron and Wes Matthews and Anthony Davis and Gasol and all them playing, like, lockdown defense, what happens? I don't know. Especially with the Jazz team that's kind of underachieved in the playoffs. But right now, I mean, they're one of 5 teams that can win a title, I would say.
You really think they could win a title?
Yeah, I do. I was thinking about that last night. Like, would we have thought that about the Golden State Warriors in 2015? Or would you have had your, like, doubts about them winning a title?
Probably had my doubts.
Right, because they hadn't done it yet. And, you know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson playing a weird three-point shooting basketball. Like, yeah. Charles Barkley went down, you know, in flames, constantly saying a jump-shooting team won't win a championship. Kept doubling down on it.
And plus, I mean, they couldn't do anything with Mark Jackson. They kept kind of being a disappointing team, too.
Yeah. So, like, I was thinking about that in bed last night, like I said, and I don't know what the difference between this Jazz team and that Warriors team was. I mean, you could say, like, Steph Curry, but, like, we don't know. Donovan Mitchell might be on a similar ascension. Maybe not to Curry's level, but, I mean, it could be. He's pretty damn good.
My thing is, like, do you really trust, like, the another guy to kind of take over? Like, Clarkson and Conley have been great this year. Clarkson's been really good. But, like, do you really trust them in the playoffs to, if Mitchell got slowed down, to kind of be a guy to get the ball to him and get a bucket, like a go-to guy? Even Gobert offensively is not a go-to guy. That's my worry about
that. No, it'd have to be like a Conley. It'd have to be a Conley Gobert pick and roll.
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, I do think Jordan Clarkson can come and get buckets. I mean, I'm not worried about him coming and getting his own shot. He can do that.
Yeah.
And I think Joe Ingles can create offense for them. Like, they're a pretty deep team. I mean, they got guys that you can see going off on, you know, multiple nights, other nights. It's not the same guy every time. Like, Donovan Mitchell last night was 4 of 16.
Yeah.
And they beat the Lakers by, what, 25 points?
Yeah.
Bogdanovich, he didn't even play in the bubble last year, did he?
No,
against
he didn't.
The Nuggets?
Yeah, yeah, he was hurt. And I think that was a pretty big loss for them. I mean, he gives them big spacing, and that's why they're part of the reason they're shooting so well from three. So, no, I'll say they're a contender. Now, am I going to pick them? That might be a different story.
Yeah.
That might be a different story. But, they, you know, if you told me right now the Jazz won the championship, I'd say, wow, good for Utah. Finally broke through. I wouldn't just be like, oh, my God, really, they did it? Because, again, the numbers are telling you they're a top 5 team offensively and defensively.
I just can't see them beating the Lakers or the Clippers 4 times in 2 weeks.
I can see them beating the Clippers. I can't see them beating the Lakers.
Yeah, maybe the Clips.
With a healthy Anthony Davis. Like, I just – or let me take that back. I wouldn't predict that. I would think L.A. would win. I see the scenario where they just get hot from 3 and win.
Mm-hmm.
And Gobert could somewhat guard Anthony Davis, and they're doing, you know, they're matching up with them. I wouldn't pick that. I would pick the Lakers to still win as long as Davis comes back healthy. But especially, like, well, we don't know Anthony Davis's health. Like, yeah, Jazz could definitely win right now. Cam, you agree or disagree?
No, I agree for sure. I don't know. They've been really fun to watch this year. I think they're pretty good. And, like, it's not like they haven't, had good regular seasons before, but this one seems a little bit different than the...
They ain't never won no damn 20 of their last 22.
Exactly. So this one seems a little different, but they've been a solid team. This is kind of almost like what people thought they were going to have when Conley first got there.
Last year. This is what it was supposed to be. And, granted, when he went there last year, we didn't know Jordan Clarkson was going to be as good as he's been for them.
Yeah.
I will say that, again, I think we should really take into account that this is one of the few teams with a home court advantage during the days of COVID.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
When you're up there in that altitude having to play in Utah, that's going to be a big deal for some teams.
Absolutely. I'll be interested to see what they can do. I think they came out into that Lakers game last night trying to make a statement.
Lakers didn't have Schroeder either. Okay, let's calm down a little bit.
I'm not basing the Jazz off of this game. I'm basing the Jazz off 20-2 in their last 22 games. Yeah. I'm asking if you're worried about the Lakers. They've lost four in a row.
Yeah.
To the Nets, Heat, Wizards, and Jazz. I mean, three teams that are playing pretty well with the Nets, Heat, and Jazz. The Wizards have been playing better, but that's still a game you can't blow a 15-point lead in.
Yeah.
But even if you go back then, like they had those games where they were going into overtime with like the Pistons and Thunder. Lakers struggling without Anthony Davis. Yeah, I'm not basing the Jazz off of last night. I think the Lakers beat them if they're healthy. But I'm saying the Jazz are on a tear.
Markieff Morris for the Lakers. He did say, we see the Jazz. We know that they beat our ass tonight.
Okay.
He said, 100%. But in the playoffs, it's a different story.
I think that's accurate. And I think the Lakers are a team that, like, no matter what seed they come in, I'll pick them to go in and beat anybody as long as they're healthy.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised at how hot they came out in the regular season and how much it seemed like they were taking this regular season seriously. Like LeBron refusing to rest. Mm-hmm. How about those Hawks last night, Cam?
Oh, I was so happy. I love beating Boston. Won the season series. Love to see it. Danilo setting a franchise record out there, just banging threes. They were clowning Grant. Oh, it was wild.
He had 38 points.
Last thing you see him go 10 of 12 from three. It was pretty damn impressive.
You just seen that step back he hit on Grant Williams.
Yeah, Williams, rough night for him. Yeah. Gallo embarrassed him. And then you guys see Trae Young.
Yeah.
Bow wow him.
Really?
He got like mic'd.
Yeah.
Did he? There was 1 second left on the shot clock, and Grant Williams had his back turned into the inbounder, and Trae Young threw it off his back and then caught it and hit a little floater.
Right at the shot clock buzzer.
He got like mic'd.
Yeah.
He got like mic'd. I don't want to talk about the Hawks, whatever, but I do want to talk about the Celtics, who are all of a sudden only a game up above the Hawks.
Yep.
The Celtics are two games under 500 through 32 games. They are 15-17.
Out of the playoffs.
And right now, I was going to say, Hayden, that the Miami Heat's recent surgence has knocked the Boston Celtics out of the playoffs. Now they're tied, but the Heat, Celtics, and Knicks are all 15-17, but the Heat would have the tiebreaker right now. Celtics have lost three in a row. They are 15-17, and you look around, and there's not a lot of help coming. Like, yeah, you can get Marcus Smart back, but that's it.
And did you see the report that there was like, it was Jason Tatum in the middle of a press conference, and there was like background noise of stuff getting kind of thrown, it kind of sounded like, and then they heard like Brad Stevens, even like it sounded like he was kind of shouting. That was all more speculation, but it's kind of reports there's a little turmoil in the locker room as well.
Well, Danny Ainge caught him out in the media, last week or the week before, tried to fire him up, and it hasn't really worked. And it does seem like Brad Stevens not really elevating this team. Hasn't really elevated this team since the Isaiah Thomas year. Like, I would say the Celtics have underachieved the last 2 years. Right? I mean, the Kyrie Irving year was an underachievement.
Mm-hmm.
Were they the 2 seed last year in the playoffs, or were they the 3?
It's so weird because there were no home games that
bubble, either.
So it doesn't really matter. The Raptors and Celtics were 2 and 3. I don't know who was.
Yeah, they won that series.
The Raptors were 2 because Celtics played the Sixers in that 3-6 matchup.
Yeah.
But I mean, they went to the conference finals. But they should have. Last year was their chance to win the East. Like once the Bucks got knocked out, last year was their chance to win the East. They should have beaten the Heat just on paper. You know, they didn't, obviously, and the Heat punked them. But like, if you're the Celtics, that was your chance to make the finals. And if you make the finals, maybe there's not as much pressure on you this year. But when you combine like what you did with Kyrie Irving, you underachieved. You gave away Colin Sexton for 1 year of Kyrie Irving. That draft pick was supposed to be one of your big assets. You gave it away for 1 year of Kyrie Irving, and he walked. You got nothing in return for him. Now you look around, and you got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and absolutely nothing else.
Yep.
You drafted Aaron Nesmith in the first round. He is terrible. You drafted Peyton Pritchard in the first round. He is okay. You gave Kemba Walker a max contract, and he is broken down. Michael Jordan got one over on Danny. He took Terry Rozier, who is at this point probably better than Kemba Walker. For a fraction of the cost, said, we're not giving a max contract to Kemba. You take him. And they said, okay, we'll take him. And he has been awful for them, and he has broken down. And when you're under 6 foot, and you're over 30, and your body starts going, buddy, you're in trouble. Kemba's never going to be a max player. And I don't know where we go back to trace like the beginning of the end for the Celtics, but like I don't think it's a coincidence that you saw three players walk out and give them nothing in return after they traded Isaiah Thomas after he played through a broken hip and the death of his sister in the playoffs and put his career on the line and cost himself a truckload of money.
Yep.
I say truckload because he told Danny that he was going to back up the Brinks truck for him. And then he went out there and gutted out a playoff series in the conference finals and was rewarded by being shipped off to Cleveland. And then you saw Al Horford leave. You saw Kyrie Irving leave. You saw Gordon Hayward leave. All of them pretty much for nothing. You got a trade exception in return for Gordon Hayward that you might be able to get maybe Al Horford back in a trade or somebody at least to give you some type of help. But nobody that's going to change anything. Is it Brad Stevens? Is it Danny Ainge? Is it both? Like, something's got to give. We can't keep protecting these darlings, these golden boys in the media, because right now the Celtics team's a disaster. Who are you giving the blame to, Draven?
Probably Brad Stevens. Like you said, he seems like a little bit of a overrated coach. Still, though, I mean, just looking at the roster, it's just really not that good. So maybe it is Danny Ainge. Because, I mean, you take away Tatum and Brown, and what is this team, honestly?
It's terrible.
Like, they're not even
it's terrible.
Close.
They had an awful offseason. Like, they decided they would rather – I mean, like, you can blame Brad Stevens, and I think there's some merit there. I think Brad Stevens is a college coach.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, like, I'm not saying he can't be good in the NBA because he's obviously been good in the NBA. But what I mean by that is he wants to coach gritty guys.
He does.
College coaches, gritty guys. There's no coincidence, in my opinion, that he exceeded expectations with the Celtics when expectations were very low. And he had a team full of guys trying to prove something. When you had Isaiah Thomas, who was trying to prove something. When you had rookies and young guys who – and the consummate professional like Al Horford, who was, you know, finally in a good situation that he thought he was in a good situation. You know, like with the fans and, oh, we're such a team atmosphere. This is so great. But, like, you start getting stars, and there's a reason Brad Stevens, maybe his stars kind of – worn off a little. But yeah, look at what Danny Ainge has done. It's wild to me. Like, go back 8 years, Cam, and tell yourself the Brooklyn Nets traded all of their assets and everything to the Boston Celtics for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Fast forward 8 years later, and I mean, I think, is anyone arguing that the Brooklyn Nets will make the NBA Finals before the Boston Celtics do?
That's crazy.
I mean, yeah.
Wow.
Like, is anyone arguing that point? Like, no one's on the side of Boston right now, right? Like, the Brooklyn Nets, who were left for dead, traded all their assets, were mocked.
Yeah.
Handed over everything to Brooklyn, or handed over everything to the Celtics, excuse me. They're going to make the NBA Finals before the Boston Celtics will.
Everybody was clowning the Nets for years about that.
To be fair, it was a terrible trade.
Yeah, it was.
It was abysmal.
And like, they still bounced back, though.
But, like, it's just an indictment on, like, how much this was mismanaged from Boston's perspective. You had all these assets, and you got nothing to show for it other than Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who are good.
Yep.
But that's it. Like, but you haven't put a roster around them.
Yeah, if they're missing shots, like, That was kind of the thing last night. Jaylen Brown wasn't shooting well, things like that.
Tony Snell had Jason Tatum in hell.
Yeah.
Who?
Tony Snell.
Exactly.
Exactly. T-Snell's been balling, by the way. He's shooting like 56% from three the last four games.
But he's also shooting like 20% from two-pointer,
which is wild.
That's fine with me. Don't shoot. Don't shoot.
Yeah, he doesn't. He just shoots three. So
he's
I'm like, 12. Okay.
He needs it, dude.
I want to say he's 12 of 18.
Yeah, no, he's been great from three. But yeah, no, like if one of those guys is off, you're like, what do we do here?
Yeah, it's over.
It's been problematic for him, and they've had, you know, more off games than great games this year, and that's why they are below 500.
Notorious NIC tweets in, you got to think Indiana is watching the Brad Stevens situations very, very closely. I mean, I would say Kentucky's probably watching it too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would say if I'm Kentucky, I'm watching it too. If I'm Florida, I'm watching it as well. I mean, I guess Mike White's probably done enough at this point not to get fired, Hayden. Not his best player. I mean, Keontae Johnson going down. Like, he's bounced back enough to where I don't think he'll be on the hot seat. But if Brad Stevens comes open, I would say every college team, especially Indiana, because Archie ain't been very good there. They blew a big lead last night, didn't they, to Rutgers? Did they still win the game?
I think they just got blown out, didn't they?
I thought I saw that they blew a 17-point lead to Rutgers, maybe. Is what I thought I saw on Twitter. I admittedly didn't watch any of that game.
I thought I saw the score, and they were down big, so I don't know.
The only video I saw from that game last night was this guy, like their best player, Tracy Jackson Davis or whatever, posted this guy.
I mean, it's not that important. The point remains that Indiana hasn't been very good under Archie Miller.
Yep.
Yeah, it says Rutgers rallies from 15 down, beat IU 74-63.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, Archie's been a flop there. So, like, Brad Stevens, I think he's a college coach. I think he'd go back to college and kill it. And I think if you put him on the right building situation, then, yeah, he'd be good. But I don't think he's done very good with Boston the last couple years. I thought Nick Nurse coached circles around him in the playoffs last year. It's just that the Raptors were out of gas. Mm-hmm. Pascal Siakam forgot how to play basketball.
Yeah.
But going back to Indiana, like, let's keep it in the NBA, though, like, that's a part of Danny Ainge's problem. He could have at least salvaged something for Gordon Hayward. But he let his pride get in the way. Gordon Hayward wanted to go to Indiana.
Yeah.
He could have at least gotten Miles Turner and another piece back, but he started demanding, I want Miles Turner and TJ Warren. Throw in Sabonis too. Like, he was trying to just overplay his hand, and that's what he's done in every one of these trades, and that's why he can't get nothing done. He's that guy in your fantasy football league that refuses to make a trade to benefit his team unless he's completely fleecing you. He has to feel like he is fleecing you. And there's nothing worse than that type of GM. There's nothing that makes me more angry when I'm playing fantasy sports than when I'm like, hey, this helps both of us. You need a running back. I need a receiver. Let's build something here. You don't have to get my first and second round pick. Let's just do a little trade here. Let's help our teams. What would I help you? Well, you're just hurting yourself.
You think Ainge, since he did that, again, that was considered one of the most lopsided trades in, like, NBA history, the Celtics-Nets trade, right? Do you think it's just, like, he had that under his belt, so he's always kind of used that, like, well, look what I did kind of mentality?
That, plus, he was cocky about it, too.
Yeah.
And, like, let's face it, Danny Ainge pulled off two good trades in his career, and that's basically the only thing he's done. I'll say three. I'll give him credit for selling the number one pick in Markelle Fultz to get Jason Tatum. I'll give him credit for that. Three good things in his tenure. He called up his buddy Kevin McHale, begged him to get Kevin Garnett. Kevin McHale did his boy a favor and sent him Kevin Garnett. They robbed him for Kevin Garnett because he was friends with Kevin McHale, who was, like, immediately fired from his GM position at that point. And he was able to fleece a desperate Brooklyn Nets team that had a Russian owner that had guaranteed a championship within 5 years and was like, we got to get some stars here. Yeah, Kevin Garnett, I know him, Paul Pierce. Yeah, they used to be good. Get him. Because I've promised a championship. And then he took advantage and got Jason Tatum. Three good things in his career. Otherwise, look at his draft record, man. Ain't good. His free agent signings. He's gotten a couple, but he's missed on some. Or let them walk. It's crazy to me. They're 15-17. Like I said, there's not much they can do to get better.
Does Brad Stevens make it to the end of the season? Do you think there's any way they fire him midseason?
I mean, I guess it depends if he loses the team. Last night against the Hawks, it looked like he had lost the team. The Hawks busted their ass. Like, and then there were some points, like, we didn't even look at. They were trying to play defense. Like, they were out there half-heartedly trying to guard Trae Young. Trae made them look bad. Like, Trae Young kicked their ass in three games this year. If Trae Young got to play the Celtics every year, every day, he would be an all-star. He'd be an all-pro player.
Yep.
He'd be first team All-NBA because he killed them. They had zero interest in guarding him.
Mm-hmm. Does Carson Edwards play for the yes. Celtics still?
Yeah.
I mean, he does, but...
Is he any good?
He played
12 minutes last night.
He had a three, I remember watching that.
It was a lot of mop-up duty. Like, he's a wasted draft pick. I mean, he's not any good.
It was him and Grant that drafted that year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drafted both of them.
Yeah. Like, he's played 14 games this year, 10 minutes a game, 5 points. Like, I mean, and Grant, love him. I don't exactly remember who was drafted around him, but Grant hasn't been great at times. Like, some games he'll get a did not play. Some games he'll struggle. He's been better this year at, you know, stretching the floor and shooting the three, but, like, you know, there's just not a lot of good things to point at for Danny. Like, Grant's shooting has really tapered off. Well, I didn't realize this. At one point in the year, Grant was shooting close to 50% from three. Last 10 games, he is shooting 10. 10% from three. Which, again, still shooting 40% for the year, so he was really killing it. He's, you know, limited sample size, obviously, but, yeah, like 10%, he's lost his shot. That was one of my big takeaways, because that's a team in the East that's supposed to make, they're supposed to own the league. That was the talk, right, of how they're going to own the NBA the next 10 years in the East.
Mm-hmm.
And they might come out of this without winning the East once.
Drafted around Grant, Matisse Thybulle was traded to the 76ers. Has he been any good?
No, he's been okay. I wouldn't say he's probably been better than Grant.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's probably been better, a little bit better than Grant.
But nothing like where you're like, oh my God, how'd you miss out on him?
The Celtics drafted him and traded him to the 76ers. 21st was Brandon Clark.
Now that's a miss.
Yeah.
He got drafted.
Brandon Clark is much better than Grant
Williams. Traded to the Grizzlies. That was before Grant, though. Then Grant got drafted.
That was before Grant.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was before Grant. Okay, then I don't give him any blame for that.
The Jazz drafted Darius Bazley.
Yeah, not
Bazley.
Really, not really a big deal.
76ers drafted Ty Jerome.
No.
Mm-mm.
Trailblazers drafted Nasir Little.
No. Yeah, I guess there's not really anybody there. Like, that's the thing about the NBA draft on these draft picks. Like, that's what we always talk about. Whenever these teams are trading these draft picks for stars, like, draft picks are stupid, man, in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're getting, like, a lottery pick that can get you a top five pick, chances are you're going to be rolling the dice and coming up 30% accuracy in terms of getting a difference maker in the first round of the NBA.
Who's Kevin Porter Jr.?
This guy from USC that got released he got released by the Cavs.
Yeah, okay. Because they changed his locker. Or
yeah,
whatever.
They
that's why I heard his name before. Yeah, yeah. He was drafted 30th.
And Thybulle's been terrible this year so far. Really. Yeah, 3 points a game. Ugh. He's a defensive guy, but still 3 points a game.
Is Bol Bol still in the league?
He is.
Yeah, yeah.
He got drafted 44th.
I'm not gonna scream at him for missing that, but
I don't know any of these guys in the.
Easily, I'll be the best.
All
one
those,
that
all those
stretch.
Guys you mentioned, all those guys stink.
All the guys in the second round, like I don't. Daniel Gafford, does he play any?
I don't think so. That's Arkansas guy, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was for the Bulls, playing for the Bulls for a minute,
for a little bit.
Role player.
Does Nicholas Claxton play for the Nets?
No.
Not really. No.
So maybe.
I think he's the backup now since they traded Jared Allen out of there.
I know KZ Akpala plays for the Heat.
But again, that's the thing about draft picks, man. Like in the NFL, draft picks, first round picks, you should have better than like a 30% chance of getting a starter. But like in the NBA, outside the top five, you are really just rolling the dice. Really outside the top 10. You're just, you might hit somebody every now and then, but chances are.
I mean, that's what this draft is. I mean, outside the top 10, the only ones that I see are making any difference is. Tyler Hero and PJ Washington.
Just think about how crazy it is. Like the what year was Tatum drafted? 17? Was that 17?
18. Yeah.
I think it was 17. That was the first draft class since 1999. So what is that? 18 years?
Mm-hmm.
Were all three top three picks made an all-star team?
Oh. Wow.
That should be crazy. Like,
that is crazy.
A top three pick should get you an all-star. But, like, again, it's been 18 years since you've had a draft class give you three all-stars. Lonzo. Would it be Lonzo? Was it Lonzo? No,
was it Markelle Fultz?
No, first? That's not that draft class. It would be I said Tatum. It wasn't Tatum. It was Ben Simmons, Ingram, and was it Russell? Who was the number? Might have been Russell. So it might have been 2016 draft classes. I got it wrong earlier, but
Jalen Brown too went third.
Okay. I was going to say Russell may have went the All-Star. Four.
Maybe that was that. Okay, maybe it was that one.
Ben Simmons, Brandon Ingram, then Jalen Brown.
Okay, 2016. It's that one, yeah. Okay, where the top three picks all made the All-Star.
That's crazy.
Then number four was Dragan Bender.
Oh, oof, yeah.
For the Suns.
Hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three with headlines. We also got some Team Haven versus the World at 2:15. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks.